The beer is cold and the wings are hot. You're in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950 The Fan, Rochester.
You can hear Ryan Hickey on the Infinity Sports Network here on The Fan Hick at night. Let's recap week two and get a preview of tonight's week two finale from Philadelphia. Ryan, good to have you on with us. Really appreciate it. Big news from today, and it's not a surprise, unless you consider it a surprise that the number one overall pick is being benched just, 17, 18 games into his career. It'll be Andy Dalton for Carolina now with Bryce Young getting the hook.
What's up, fellas? Thanks for having me on, number one. Number two, I'm shocked, at least. I did not see this coming in large part because I just think it's too early. Like, Bryce Young has sucked. I'm not going to try to sit here and tell you any different. He's been bad. And you watched that game yesterday. He looked scared. The whole coaching staff looked scared. I mean, every pass was 5 yards and below. It was really bad. But with that said, this is, year two, game two for Bryce Young, now going on, if you want to count the interim last year, his third different head coach, still trying to learn the system of Dave Canales. I guess I don't understand the upside here for the Panthers. Like, Bryce Young, two games into a new coaching tenure, is on the bench. How does that help him? I don't know about you guys. This, to me, screams and reeks of David Tepper. Just, I think, hitting the panic button, trying to get some wins here, not caring how it happens. And instead of focusing on developing Bryce Young, he's panicking, trying to get in the win column and not be the worst team in the league. And that's why you see Andy Dalton for week three. I mean, it shouldn't be a long-term solution. We'll see how long that lasts, but that's the only thing I can think of here. After 2 weeks of the new coach, you bench him already? I think this has David Tepper written all over it.
Yeah, I mean, you go from Matt Rhule, and all of a sudden Matt Rhule, maybe he's just not a guy who's made for the NFL game, but he's doing a fine at Nebraska now, starting to turn things around there. Wilkes, Reich, I'm just wondering, Steve Wilkes, Frank Reich, I know Frank Reich is a man of faith, he wouldn't be doing this, but any coach that has been let go by Tepper has to be laughing hysterically at this, because you can't tell me, Ryan, that Dave Canales is making this move on his own. If he wants to develop this quarterback, like you said, this is not exactly developing at this point.
100%. There's no way he's sitting there saying after two games, yeah, he's done. Like, put a fork in him. We can't do this anymore. We got to go to somewhere else. I don't think he had a choice in doing so. I think that's coming from the owner, David Tepper. Because, Dave Canales, any smart, sensible football guy realizes you can't turn around a broken player that was Bryce Young last year in two games. That's unrealistic. And so, yeah, I don't think Canales is looking at this and saying, two games, if he's not playing at this high of a level, then he's got to go. He doesn't have it. I think it's all Tepper. And again, you listen to the coaches, you've seen the decision and the meddling he's had. He's had his hands all over this organization ever since he bought them. And everything he has touched has gone to crap.
This is the guy he wanted, which makes it even more confusing. He wanted this guy over C.J. Stroud. And I guess now when I kind of try to project what will happen with this organization with Tepper at the reins, I'm telling you, if they're picking top two, top three next year, and there's a quarterback there, if it's Shador, whoever it is that they might be looking at, stay in college an extra year if you can. Get that NIL money. Don't go to Carolina.
Do what Peyton Manning did, right? All the way back. Go back to college for another. I'm with you. Because, that's the thing. Even if they do draft a quarterback, name whoever you want, Carson Beck, Shador Sanders, Quinn Ewers, does not matter. You look at this roster, you look at this culture, you look at how they're run, there is zero reason to believe any quarterback, if they do draft another one next year, is coming in and having success, is going to do better than right now what Bryce Young is. Hell, look at the last two quarterbacks in Carolina before Bryce Young got there. Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold. Both, in the case of at least Baker, flourishing in Tampa. Sam Darnold looks like a brand new quarterback in Minnesota. These guys have left and everyone is having success, and everyone that goes there, their careers now are going to die. So even if they draft another quarterback next year, have fun. You'll have the same conversation 2 or 3 years from now. It's present day Jets, where now the Jets with Aaron Rodgers at least have some sort of competency, right? But remember, they were just drafting in a cycle for a while. Sam Darnold, Zach Wilson, they just got into that mindset over and over and over again. Mark Sanchez, Smith, let's just draft a new quarterback every 2 or 3 years and expect, hope, pray maybe that something changes. And guess what? Nothing ever did. And that's to me how I view the Panthers right now. They're going to keep on putting new guys in there, nothing's going to change.
Ryan Hickey, who you hear on the Infinity Sports Network Sunday night and also in other places, our guest here in the sports bar. Ryan, we tend to overreact right after just 2 weeks here, but this is an interesting stat. It's the first time since 2015 the Baltimore Ravens are starting out 0-2. I don't think there's any shame in losing to the Super Bowl champs, but what did you make of the Raiders going in and punching Baltimore in the mouth yesterday? Baltimore, what should be the panic level in Maryland right now?
Hi, I'm glad you used punching in the mouth. I think that's perfect because the pillars that have made the Ravens this great team now for years and decades, toughness, physicality, great offensive line, great run game, great defense, discipline, great special teams, like those are different foundations that the Ravens have had consistently through different players, through, you know, different regime changes, I should say, but they've all remained the same. And you look at this Ravens team so far through two games, and you look at, especially on Sunday, all those pillars are gone. That offensive line is soft as hell. They're not moving anybody off the line of scrimmage. Even you look at the rushing numbers in the box score, they're a little deceiving. They are not running the ball anywhere near as consistently as they have in the past. That secondary is just getting torched right now. It's one thing to get torched by Patrick Mahomes. It's a completely other thing to get torched by Gardner Minshew. My goodness, to blow a 10-point lead at home in the fourth quarter. They had over 10 penalties yesterday. They've had some bad special teams gaffes where now Justin Tucker can't hit any field goal past 50 yards. They had an awful punt from Jordan Stout, the worst possible time. Everything that you have come to know about the Baltimore Ravens as to what makes them one of the best teams in the league and one of the most well-run and consistent organizations, all of those pillars have disappeared so far this year, and there's no right now indication that it's coming back anytime soon. I think they'll make the playoffs just because you look around the rest of the AFC. I don't think there are right now seven teams that are just better and more consistent than Baltimore, but in terms of being a Super Bowl contender, absolutely not. There's some real concern here going forward. The schedule gets tougher as well, and I don't think things are getting better in Baltimore anytime soon.
Ryan, I want to spend a second talking about the Bills' opponent in Week 3. A week from tonight, Jacksonville comes into Buffalo, and they just feel like they are, year in and year out, just a group of underachievers. The Browns go into Jacksonville, their home opener, and they beat them yesterday, 18-13. What's your overall assessment of Jacksonville? Because I look around the league and it feels like the teams that are maybe not winning consistently but at least playing consistently have buy-in. And I don't know that there's a buy-in when you look at what Jacksonville has put out through 2 weeks this season.
I would agree. Their offense feels broken. Like, obviously, the point man is Trevor Lawrence, and now in getting that new contract, he's going to be, you know, the pin of all the blame. He deserves blame. He's been disappointing. Like, you look at last week against the Dolphins, as the momentum is changing after that ETN fumble, that's the time you need, you know, one of the highest paid quarterbacks in the league to take over, go on a drive, grab the momentum back. Instead, you go three and out, game over, you lose. And even yesterday at home, like, the Deshaun Watson looks decent in the first half, probably the best half he's had as a Brown in his 3 years there. And it's like you can't muster, like, that's, you need your quarterback to rally the team. I like that you said buy-in, because it does not feel the buy-in's there. It starts with Trevor Lawrence, but it goes and expands everywhere else. The offensive line is putrid. They can't block anybody. They can't pass protect. I mean, the game ended on a safety because Trevor Lawrence got the ball and had basically no chance but to go down because the Browns just got all over him because that offensive line couldn't block anybody in that game. The run game is non-existent. They're making the coaching decisions and play calling is very questionable. Doug Peterson, I thought that would be a really good head coach quarterback combo. And after a solid second half of the year in 2022, it has gone completely backwards ever since. That team just feels broken right now. I know Steve Tasker earlier today said that he expects them to be a desperate team. But if you're the Bills, I would feel very good right now about facing Jacksonville and coming out with the win.
Yeah, so that is going to be an early start, at least what we're used to on a Monday night, 7:30. This is what is now the NFL wants to do more of, doubleheaders on Monday Night
That's
Football.
Right.
Which I would think that you would want maybe the Bills is the game that's on ABC, not on ESPN. They put the Bengals on at 8:15 next Monday night against Washington. And talk about teams right now that are kind of a mess. And sure, the Bengals could say, hey, we could have had that one. And, well, they always start out like this, Ryan. They're 0-2. Does this feel a little different to you, what you're seeing out of Cincinnati this year?
It doesn't. I actually came away from yesterday really encouraged about the Bengals. I talked about it on the show. They, for me, show. I think they're the only team in the AFC this year that can beat the Chiefs. I think they're the only ones. And even though they lost yesterday, I really liked what I saw from Cincinnati. That's a team that, going into that game, too, I think was important. Ja'Marr Chase was running his mouth. Cam Taylor-Britt was running his mouth. Why that's important is because when the Bengals are at their best and they're truly believing and playing at the highest level, they're confident and they're cocky. And they're not afraid to talk the talk and walk the walk. And look, you could say they didn't walk the walk because they didn't end up with the win. They're a 4th-and-16 pass interference call, right call, by the way, but still a pass interference call from a rookie defensive back away from winning that game in Arrowhead without T. Higgins, with injuries to the defensive line, with Ja'Marr Chase being held in check. If they mean the playoffs again, I expect the Bengals to be a way more improved, healthier, better team. I think they mean the playoffs. That's going the other way. Cincinnati wins. And you just look at how unafraid they are facing the Chiefs. Every other team in the AFC, you've seen the Bills do it. We saw the Ravens do it, especially last year. The Dolphins, you name the team. It feels like half the time the game is lost because of the rent the Chiefs own in the other team's heads. The only space that the Chiefs can't rent out in anyone's head is the Bengals. I think you saw it yesterday. I know they're 0-2. History says they're not going to make the playoffs. Kind of what I talked about with the Ravens before. I think they will make the playoffs in part just because I don't think right now there are 7 teams better than the Bengals that have their stuff together more than the Bengals. I still think the Bengals are going to win the AFC North, to be honest with you. I don't really buy into the Steelers whatsoever. Browns got questions. Ravens have questions. So even though it was an L, I really, really liked what I saw from the Bengals yesterday.
Ryan Hickey, Infinity Sportsnet here on the Fan Rochester, joining us to recap Week 2, and we'll get to tonight's game in Philadelphia in just a couple few. And it was a year that was supposed to be a rebuilding year for the Vikings. But, sure. Ryan, here we are. And I remember the day that J.J. McCarthy went down and they said, all right, well, next man up, it's Sam Darnold. I know a lot of people were plugging their nose, and I was saying to myself, you know what? If you look at where he's been versus where he is, it's clear this is the best professional situation that Sam Darnold has been in his entire career, and he might actually be good in this situation. And here the Vikings are, 2-0.
I know. It's been incredible. Sam Darnold deserves a lot of credit. I think even more than him, though, I think it's Kevin O'Connell. Because yeah. I think, like you said, like the best part and why Darnold is succeeding is because you're seeing Kevin O'Connell, the creativity that he has in offense. You know, the game plan, the scheme, always having an answer for his quarterback. And he's now shown, going back to last year, I know it fizzled out towards the end and they didn't make the playoffs and kind of fell out of the playoff race, but with Joshua Dobbs, amongst others, like, they were still competitive for a while after Kirk Cousins went down because Kevin O'Connell could win with anybody. There are a few coaches, I think, that can truly get the best and win with almost anybody. You know, Andy Reid, Sean McVay, Kyle Shanahan. I think Kevin O'Connell's on that list. Like, he's on a short list right now and rising of, you know, best coaches in the game right now. And you're seeing with Sam Darnold, 2-0, the offense is looking good outside of the one just brutal pick that Darnold had. I guess he's due for maybe one a game or one every other game. But other than that, like, he's decisive. He's accurate. He can still, I mean, you see in his arm, he can make some big-time throws. That Justin Jefferson touchdown was unbelievable. He's a tremendous talent. He's in a great situation. He deserves a lot of credit. O'Connell deserves a lot of credit. I don't want to get crazy here, but let's just get a little nuts. Like, what if this continues? What if he just gets better? Do you put J.J. McCarthy in next year? It's going to be a fascinating conversation here, but so far, so good for Sammy D and Kevin O'Connell.
There's one team that is 0-2 that I'm not surprised at 0-2. That's because Hard Knocks kind of shaped my vision of this. Ooh. A lot of people. Like, you know it's really bad when Brian Daboll is getting a question in Week 2 about his job security. I mean, does this end any other way? Because I'll ask the question this way. I mean, Joe Shane doesn't get a chance to pick his next head coach, right? He's out too?
I think I would say both get one more chance. Whoa. In part, like, I don't think this is surprising. Like you said, you saw this coming with Hard Knocks. I think a lot of people saw this coming with Hard Knocks. And maybe it's just me living here in New York City being surrounded by Giants fans. There was a lot of optimism about Giants fans going into this year, talking about how they could be an 8 or 9 win team, a playoff team. And you look at this roster, it's not very good. And especially on offense, it's not talented whatsoever. Now you're asking Daniel Jones to carry your team. I know he was fine yesterday, and that loss is more on Brian Daboll not having a kicker ready. If I was a Giants, I would not fire Brian Daboll, in part because of what you saw up there where you guys are in Buffalo. Like, he truly was able to mold Josh Allen and take him from a project to one of the best quarterbacks in 3 years. And I would say it's not Daboll's fault. It's Daniel Jones' fault. I would try to get another quarterback next year and see if Daboll can work his magic again. He's proven he can take raw, talented players and make them one of the best quarterbacks in the league. I think if you're the Giants, you can't fire. This will be an ugly year. I think you have to hold that hope and just say, you know what, this is a lost season. We had unrealistic expectations. We didn't really know what we were doing in letting two of our best players go in Barkley and Xavier McKinney, having no real plans to upgrade the offense whatsoever outside of drafting Malik Nabers. We have a quarterback we really don't believe in, but hell, let's just see if we have anything here in Daniel Jones. This, to me, was a lost year from the start. I would hold out hope and give Daboll one more chance here in 2025.
Ryan, I don't think anybody could have predicted the deluge of points we've gotten from New Orleans through 2 weeks of the NFL season. They go into Dallas, they absolutely destroy the Cowboys, and it feels like through 2 weeks, they haven't really even been tested. Like, they're doing it with such ease that I wonder what this team looks like when they get challenged by a team and when they're in a close and competitive game. What's your takeaway from that Saints upset of the Cowboys yesterday?
That was incredible, and I give the Saints credit here because I thought they would be a bottom three team. So I have to, shocker, I know, I'm wrong about something here.
Nobody cares when you're right, Ryan. We only want to tell you when you're wrong.
So let's bring it up. I was dead wrong on the Saints. I'm not buying in long-term. Like, I don't think they can actually compete with the Falcons and the Buccaneers for the NFC South crown, but they're way more competent than I expected. I think their offensive coordinator, Clint Kubiak, deserves a ton of credit for right now turning around this offense, revitalizing Derek Carr. Shahid right now is all of a sudden now the best deep threat in the league. But, look, the Panthers are a free space now, right? Like, week one, you almost kind of throw away. They just stink. They can't stop anybody offensively. They can't put any points up, or they can't stop anybody defensively. That's a free game. Yesterday was impressive. I also think, though, part of yesterday was a wake-up call for the Cowboys. I know defensively they didn't lose much talent this offseason, but losing Dan Quinn, I thought, would have a major impact. You didn't really see it in week number one. It's also Deshaun Watson. He's really struggling right now to get things on the straight and narrow. But I thought you saw yesterday just how much different that scheme is going to be now with Dan Quinn not there, and instead having Mike Zimmer calling the shots. Even though the names for the most part are the same, I thought this defense was going to take a step back just because Dan Quinn, I thought, did a tremendous job of always having answers defensively and always putting his great players in positions to succeed. I was skeptical about how Mike Zimmer would be able to do that, and I think you saw yesterday that answer really come in full force there with how they just got torched. Saints will be 7-8 weeks. Like, I think they'll be competent, like kind of close to 500, not really a playoff contender. And I think, like you said, once they actually get challenged by some real teams, the tide will turn, and they're not going to average 40 points a game like they've been doing. But very impressive so far, more competent than they ever could have expected. But I think yesterday, outside of just the Saints offense being impressive, that Cowboys defense is alarming. I think that's more than just a one-week fluke.
Ryan, you can imagine our show Friday. Bills, boy, a blowout win against a divisional opponent, but it was a little muted because I'd like to think that many of us have a heart here. We didn't like to see what Tua Tagovailoa had to do. Here is what is just coming across the wire right now, and I'd like to ask you and Danger your reaction to this, because Mike McDaniel, talking with reporters this afternoon, says there's not enough information to make a decision on placing Tua Tagovailoa on injured reserve. Tells me he wants him to come back here, Ryan.
Wow, interesting. I know you had that report from Ian Rappaport yesterday saying that, you know, he's talking to doctors and going to try to play. He's a football player. Like, that, I guess, the attempt is not surprising. The encouraging part for me, because like you said, I'm with you and I'm with the millions of people out there that all agreed and shared similar sentiments on Thursday night and Friday morning of wanting Tua to retire just to make sure that he can live a healthy life for another 60 years. The only thing that's encouraging for me that I liked from yesterday's report, at least from Ian Rappaport, about his attempt to return to play, is that he's talking with doctors. He's not making this on his own. He's not just saying, okay, you know, I'm in concussion protocol. As soon as I'm out, I'm going to be back on the field. He at least is advising and listening to what the doctors are saying. With that being the case, I really can't argue. Then if they give him the all clear, which I don't know if they will, I'm still not convinced of that part. But if they say all clear, you can, you know, it's safe for you to return, I can't push back on that. I mean, again, if I was Tua, I probably would retire, take my money and take my brain and just, you know, again, try to live a healthy life. But I think it's also tougher to say that when we're not in the middle of the action, you know, when you're not an active player at the peak of your powers trying to prove everybody wrong and win a Super Bowl. Well, I hope he's healthy, but
I think there's a way, Ryan, to tell if Tua's actually listening to doctors and he does return. That way is, does he come back wearing a Guardian cap or not? If he's not wearing a Guardian cap, then he's still playing reckless and with his future. If he wears the Guardian cap, at least you know somebody's getting through to him with some common sense.
That's a good point. I didn't think about that. I think you're right. I mean, I know he has a new helmet, but like you said, there's no, right now, at least from what we know, there's no downside to wearing that Guardian cap. That's a great point, and that's something that's really interesting to watch. If he does return, are you going to make sure you're taking every possible measure you can to keep that head safe? I hope he is, and I hope you will. But even, again, just trying to make a play, lowering his head, the judo worked, I guess, last year when it was falling backwards. Now I have to work on falling forwards here correctly as well.
Yeah, last one, Ryan, and I have to ask you. You're on the air here in Bill's Country, and something you said about the Bengals earlier, like they're the one team that can beat the Chiefs. I mean, the Bills have beaten the Chiefs, but not when it matters, right? So what you've seen early on with the changes, with everything kind of laid out there in the AFC East and the AFC, what's your opinion on what you've seen out of Buffalo so far?
I would say through two games, predictable, meaning – there's a lot of turnover on defense, and I think in week one you saw the Cardinals be able to put up a lot of points, move up and down the field. That's what I think you'll see more times than not. And I know the game was overshadowed by Tua's health, but before Tua got hurt, I mean, that Dolphins offense stunk. And look, there's absolute credit to the Bills defense. But I think also part of that is, like, that's who the Dolphins are. Anytime they play a good team, they fold and they shrink. And so that, I think, to me is also like more of an indictment on the Dolphins than it is, you know, anything else. So I expect this Bills defense to, you know, be the worst in the McDermott era, to allow a good amount of points anytime they're facing the Chiefs, the Ravens, the Bengals, et cetera, some of the best teams on their schedule. And I think it's going to be, yet again, as it's been in the past, all about Josh Allen. You know, James Cook had a really good game on Thursday night. Hopefully he's just a little bit more consistent now, game in and game out, to get a run game going and to be able to provide some sort of balance. I know that's been a problem for Buffalo in the past, and we'll see which receiver, if any, are able to truly develop now as a go-to threat, a reliable receiver. But I think so far through 2 weeks, with what you've seen, where Josh Allen is carrying the show, the defense right now has been getting scored on, that to me is so far through 2 weeks when you look at the offseason and all the losses they've had in the secondary, unfortunately, again, with Matt Milano going down, some changes on the offensive line, so far predictable.
Ryan, who do you like tonight?
Eagles. I like the Eagles big time here. Kirk Cousins in prime time on the road in Philly. Never a good thing if you're a fan of Kirk. And two, like, I was really high in the Falcons. Another big time L I'm taking early on in the season here. I thought they can go 14-3, not because they're any good, but just you look at their schedule. I really was high on this team, and you look at last week. I know it's one game, but their offensive line just got absolutely worked by T.J. Watt and others. Kirk did not look comfortable, did not look fully healthy. The offense was all out of whack. I don't think now going on the road to a hostile environment, to a place where Kirk has struggled big time in the past, in a time slot that he has struggled with in the past, I don't think that Falcons offense is coming to life here in week two. I like the Eagles by 14.
Great stuff. You can catch him Sunday nights. It's, you know, if you're driving home on a Sunday night, listen to Ryan Hickey. Sometimes you hear him also, JR Sport Brief. Ryan, really appreciate the time today.
Fellas, always, thank you so much for having me. You guys are the best. Keep crushing it.
Appreciate it. Ryan Hickey, Infinity Sportsnet, stopping by and recapping week two of the NFL.
He brought up a good point about primetime Kurt here. Kirk Cousins, Monday night record all time, 3-10. However,
yeah,
he was 0-9. Those three wins of three of the last four games.
Okay, so he's got a little bit of a streak after starting 0-9
nine times
Monday Night Football. This is a tough one for me. I find myself just betting kind of different player props because I don't know if I like the Eagles as much as Hickey likes the Eagles going into this game. The way this week has gone, the way you've seen teams like the Raiders going to, like, I'm gonna.
Didn't we see this already? But Cousins was in Minnesota. It was one of those Monday night games. The Bills were actually playing. I think the Bills were playing the Titans too. And yeah, it just did not go well for Cousins in Philadelphia. I don't know. If it's a trap, I'm dumping in. I'm thinking Philadelphia does just fine tonight.
Happy Hour is next on The Fan. You can join us at 866-4326. And, of course, we appreciate you stopping by. The Sports Bar here at 95.7 FM, AM 950, the free-to-download Odyssey app, your smart device when you ask it to play 95.7 The Fan, and even our video stream if you want to watch The Sports Bar. You can find us on our YouTube channel at The Fan Rochester, and also streaming on Twitch, twitch.tv/TheFanRochester as well. We'll come back. We'll talk more week two. We'll start to look ahead to a week from tonight when the Bills will host the Jacksonville Jaguars on Monday Night Football. And we'll get a round of shots in as well here on The Fan Rochester.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan Rochester.